You can't cut me off right in the middle of doing the intro, you idiot. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Flowscape podcast. And yes, we will just address this right away for the listeners, a little PSA. We will very soon be going through a rebrand with a new name and a new logo. Just flat out reason being, it'll be much easier to find. It'll be much easier to market. And that's basically it. So very soon, I don't know about next episode, but definitely before the next three episodes, you will see that transition. Now it should be seamless. You should just wake up one morning, and when you go to look up our podcast, you should just basically see that it has a new name. You shouldn't have to go follow anything new. So it should be a pretty seamless transition. But again, it's just a way to make it more marketable and easier to find, especially we just didn't want to be so niche. So that is the basic reasons. So we will move past that. Let's go ahead and check in with the boys since we have both of them with us here today. So let's go ahead and check in with little Peterson Mason. Mason, what's going on, man? How's Florida? What have you been up to?
It's good. Not a whole lot here. Just working and having a little bit of fun here and there.
What's fun for you? Moonshine at Disney?
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like last week I went to Universal to renew my pass over there, so.
I was
the beauty of living here, though, is you can get off of work at 4 o'clock, drive 20 minutes, and go ride, like, two of the best roller coasters in the country, and then go get a drink on your way out. And
you mean drive an hour, because everywhere you drive in Florida, it takes you an hour.
Yeah, what is he talking about, 20 minutes? But the traffic there is horrible.
It was stupid.
It is much better. Whether the old one was really bad. The new one is about 20 minutes from most places. So
without traffic.
Even with traffic, it's not too bad. I think the longest I've ever driven anywhere is probably like 32 minutes. Which isn't bad.
Yeah. All right. What's the golf? What does your golf game look like right now? I have to know. Is it just non-existent? What are we doing?
His clubs are dusty.
I don't understand it because he lives in Florida. You live in Florida.
Yeah, but this is also the most expensive season because everyone comes down here.
Find one.
The last few months have been there.
Dude, Metro West was like $60. It was decent. We played 36. You just find a course. You find one course that's decent. That's like $60-$65, and you play it two times a month. Mason, it is not hard.
True. I'll still give you a run for your money though.
Before we get into that, all right, let's check in with Spencer. Spencer, what's going on? How's Oregon?
It's good. We're kind of finally getting into the actual sunny season. I think we had false spring and second winter for the past couple of weeks, but was able to get out a little bit. I'm going to play a couple times this week. There's a weird gap in work. So hoping to get out a little bit and get my game a little tighter. If I can get off the tee, I'm good. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If I find a fairway or just like the first cut a little bit off, I can play well, but if I get a little squirrely off the tee and my second shot is just putting myself back in a place where I can play again, then I'm, you know, upper 80s very easily.
Yeah.
So I need to tighten up some stuff. But other than that, the game's looking nice. I'm getting ready. I just want to start playing, like playing a lot, playing, like getting the summer going. Men's leagues are just about done on the weekend. So should be getting out here a lot more here pretty soon.
So because the season is so like limited where you are, is it one of those things where like if it's a nice day, is it essentially impossible to get a decent tee time because everybody's going to play golf?
You have to book at least a week out right now.
That is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. Impossible. Like the past 2 weeks, like me and a couple buddies have been like on a Wednesday, be like, hey, let's play on Sunday morning, and we can't find a tee time before like 2:30.
That's crazy. Usually, yeah. I mean, a foursome's hard or a threesome's hard, but usually if you're a one or two, you can 3 days before the 48 hours before you want to play here and DFW, you can find a tee time before 10 a.m. still.
We just don't have a ton of courses. That's the other problem. Like, there's only like 5 or 6 real public courses within 30, 40 minutes of me.
Why?
I don't know. Land's expensive, I guess.
Ask the mayor. Drop one of the drop a Charlie Kelly video here, Mr. Mayo, off on the stairs and ask him why is there?
I don't know. It's a real grind my gears in this area, but we're about to lose 2 of the courses too over the next couple of years to housing development. So it's not looking crazy. Great for public golf in Oregon.
That's crazy. Yeah, the weather is absolutely gorgeous here. So speaking of, there's the new little segment. We'll talk about it every week because it's going to be a week by week progression for me. I am on an actual
regression.
But I am on an actual like quest to get to a single digit, like actual quest. Meaning like I've been sitting at a like between an 11 and a 13. For like 2 years now, and I can't get under it, but it just sits there. And it's part of the reason is A, I don't play enough. B, I don't actually like practice. And C, I've only had like one lesson. So here, like what I mean by actually like legitimately try to do it is I'm going to invest when I can into lessons, not one lesson here or there, like one or two lessons with the same person a month. For like 6 months to a year, right? Because I think that's the biggest thing is you can take a lesson, which I did, and it significantly helped getting off the tee because it was specifically a driving lesson for about 4 months. But there were so many little mechanics that after that time of never going back to work with the same person on the same thing again, I slowly started to forget each, you know what I mean? Like they just, the little things go away and your old habits creep back in. Whereas if you can just take one or two a month, even one a month with the same person, you just get that consistency of mechanics. And then before they can creep back in, you go fix it again. So that is one thing. And I think I'm obviously going to, and here's the other thing. It is not expensive or hard to go to the range and practice and chip and putt. It's $15 for a decent sized bucket of balls. But here's the thing.
But it's worth it. It's just.
But it's worth it. It's
how many strokes do you lose? I mean, if you really think about golf, so hypothetically you two putt every green, so that's 36 shots, and then you have 18 shots off a tee. The rest of those shots are mostly like 150 yards and in. Which is something you never really practice.
No.
You go to the driving range, you hit a bunch of drives, you hit a bunch of iron shots, and then you leave. Like, I don't go practice 120 yards in. If you can, from 120 yards in, if you're hitting it to 6 to 10 feet all of a sudden, you're shooting in the 70s almost every round.
Like, yeah.
That's the difference right there.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I think if I find a instructor who is reasonably priced, who's I can't afford some like personal swing coach, right? I need like somebody at a public course who knows what they're talking about, who maybe works with maybe not even a private lesson. Maybe it's me and like 4 other people at one time, which is fine, but I need to find somebody who's reasonably priced. I can work with once a month and then 1 to 2 a week for an hour and a half, 2 hours after work. That's my gym time. Right. So instead of going to the gym one day, which I do anyways, I'm just going to the range now and I'm actually going with a plan. Like I'm going to do this many shots with this many shots here. I'm going to work on this. Right. And then little things like putting aids, like I'm going to order like a $20 putting mirror to set the tees up, make like lie, actually like work on putting rather than just going, dropping 4 balls on a green and looking at one of the random holes and going, okay, I'm going to try to put it there. Let's actually work on our putting stroke, things like that. I'm actually going to invest a little bit of time in there, which I do anyways, as far as I'm very active. I go to the gym a lot, but I'm just tweaking it now. For the past 2 weeks, I have not played any golf and I've only been going to the gym because I have switched up my workouts specifically for golf. I'm doing a ton of like plyometrics. Like a ton of like weighted plyometrics that are specifically for like explosive hip movements with golf and things like that.
And shoulder, like, I mean, it's shoulder pulls.
Yeah, exactly. Which, to be honest with you, I have loved the last 2 weeks because I get a great workout and I I wake up the next morning and I can go back to the gym if I want to, or I can go hit balls if I want to. I don't feel just completely tore up. They're like, it's a lot of body weight stuff, or it's a lot of like lightweight stuff. It's just the movement of it. Like a lot of medicine ball slams, which I didn't think would be golf related, but they are, like a lot of like lateral medicine ball movement.
It just
movement,
depends
like
how
that.
You use them.
Like exactly.
If you use them one way, it's all brute strength. But if you use them another where you're, you know, weight transfers and the swing and all that, you know, good fun
so
stuff that I don't
like, but that is Stinchy's quest to become a single digit. It's going to take some time. We will do weekly updates because I do think it is like a week by week thing, and, or we'll do not weekly. We'll do like episode by episode updates of it. Things like that. I just want to go from consistently shooting in the high 80s, low 90s, like I do, to consistently shooting in the high 70s, low 80s. And I think it's very, very possible with an actual.
Oh, I think I lost him
too. And it's just not, it just doesn't, this is not how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, did I freeze?
He froze because he said shooting in the 70s was possible and it caused a glitch in the Matrix.
So I.
Oh, and he's gone again.
See? He's not going to be back on the screen next time.
To shooting in the. Am I frozen again? Or what's going on?
You keep freezing.
Yeah.
Again?
You're blurry now.
But you know what? I've got the game on. I've got a lot going on, so let me turn this game off. All right. So I said I just want to shoot from going from shooting high 80s, low 90s like I do consistently now to consistently shooting high 70s, low 80s, which I think is very possible with an actual plan. I think I've gone into every golf season just hoping to get better by playing golf, and that's not really how it works. So
well, that's how I feel it's going to happen. So I'm going to keep doing that.
Okay, you keep doing that. But you're already – you're already a little consistently better than me anyways. So that could work for you. It's just not working for me. So I'm a 12.2 right now. We will see where I'm at the end of this nice, like more towards the winter time. We'll see how I've ended up over this little journey here. But speaking of golf and DFW, Scottie Scheffler, holy shit. He's just on, and
the guy's absurd.
He's 19 under at RBC right now.
He's going to win like 19 tournaments this season.
It's
a row, if anything.
Mason, yeah, go. What's your give us your Scottie Scheffler analysis, Mason?
I mean, he's doing all the stuff that we thought Rory and all these people who everyone said were going to be the next big, huge one that are going to just win tournaments back to back to back, like Tiger did. None of them ever really produced in that kind of way. And I think Scottie is the first one to really do it where he's winning like four out of the last like seven tournaments or some like number. Like his numbers are absurd, like almost Tiger numbers.
His caddy is like 15th on the money list right now for the PGA. Yeah, he's like, winning so often.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He's that good. He's the one who's filling in the shoes right now, and he just needs to keep this train rolling. We'll see how his kid factors into that, because you know having a kid can definitely change everything, and having a dog as well.
the problem I have with Scottie Scheffler is I can't have a problem with him. That's my problem.
You want to hate him so
you
much.
You can't. You cannot hate him.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
It's frustrating not being able to hate somebody.
You know, he's walking around going, holy frick, guys, let's get it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like somebody like Tiger, we all love Tiger, but Tiger has attributes and has done things in the past. Oh, there's the pup, has done things in the past where it makes it very easy for certain people to hate him, like my mom. But, you know, I like Scottie Scheffler just doesn't have anything that we know of, and he's just squeaky clean, and you just can't not like him. He's not a douche. His interviews are very down to earth.
He goes to the dive bar after he wins the Masters in his green jacket.
Yeah, it's just and a dive bar that looked like it had nobody in it. First of all,
no,
like
unreal.
Just a good guy. Just a good guy. So you know he is winning currently the RBC right now. At the last day, he is at 19 under. The closest one is Patrick Rogers at 16 under. Wyndham Clark 15, which good for Wyndham. He needed a bounce back. I do like Wyndham after a few episodes of the new season of Full Swing. I like the story about him losing his mom and getting the mental coach. So good for him, but bad for Max. I want to see Max win.
Yeah, I was really rooting for Homa. I feel like he really deserves one of these majors and to really get his name out there. He's just so close. He plays so well, but he can't close.
Yeah, he wins
the Safeway Open or like some random tournament.
The Fortnite. Yeah, the Fortnite in Hawaii. Yeah. Yeah. He wins. Yeah. I want to see him win a big one.
Big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. For a guy that's lost his tour card twice and has had to battle like Corn Ferry and just all that, all the adversity he's had to face to just be in, for a guy who kind of like legend of Bagger Vance at one point lost his swing. And he's really like, he's just a guy. He's also a guy you can't not like. You just root for. You just wanted to see him do well. I'm going to admit to both of you right now, I would have been okay if Bryson DeChambeau won the Masters.
I hate him less and less. I don't know why.
I would have been okay.
So you see, he's the anti Scottie Scheffler. He's the one who's interesting and weird and has all the like quirks and like, he would, if he won, he would go do some wild nonsense with his green jacket.
It'd be like Brooks winning, yeah.
Yeah, like he's the exact opposite of what Scottie Scheffler is. And that's
yeah.
why I think everyone is toying with the idea of him winning being fun because it's like playing devil's advocate, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And I think some people, especially if you lean more towards the live side, obviously wanted to see one of those guys kind of stick it to the PGA because where's the merger? You know, it just looks like that's never going to happen. But speaking of Liv, currently right now, John Rahm is winning right now at 22 under. His team is at 22 under. I apologize. His team is at 22 under. That is the Legion team. Burmeister is 11 under. Garcia is in second, tied for first at 11 under. And then Matthew Wolf actually coming in third at 10 under. The watering hole's cool. It's like kind of their version of the waste management, that par three. I like the watering hole. It's obviously not as iconic as the waste management par three, but I do like the watering hole. It is fun. I'm a fan of both. I just like golf. Just give us the merger. Just let all those guys play in every tournament that they want to together, wear shorts or not wear shorts. Who gives a fuck? I mean, honestly,
just make the product. Yeah. Just, we need the best golfers playing against each other more weeks than just whatever it is, five or six a year now.
Yeah. 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 100%. 100%. We need better golf. We need more golf. We need all those guys together. So that's our plea to you, PGA and Liv, is just figure it out. Just absolutely figure it out. So one thing that has gotten figured out that was a mystery for a very, very long time. No one knew what was going on. The Arizona Coyotes are no more for at least 5 years. The team, operations, coaching staff.
In the words of Biz, I will remember
you. Yeah, they are officially moving to Utah. So this is what I want to talk about. So it's, I think Ryan. So Ryan Smith is the new owner. He owns the Utah Jazz. Him and his wife own their kind of management company or whatever it is. He was on record earlier in the year saying he did not want a relocated team, that he wanted an expansion team because he wanted to kind of start from the ground up and be involved in deciding, picking everything, players, whatnot, right? But do you think that, Mason, I'll ask you first, do you think he like came to a realization that if he wanted an NHL team within 5 years, he was going to have to take the Coyotes because it was either relocating? Like, do you think he kind of got some inside information like, hey, they're gonna relocate this team, it's either to you first, or if you don't take them, it's to Houston? And Spencer, I'll ask you the same question after Mason answers. If it's not you, it's going to be Houston. Do you want him or not? Do you think he was like, well, if I want a fucking NHL team, I got to do it. I got to pull the trigger. I'll take them. Do you think that was the case? Or do you think that what do you think about that whole situation?
I think, I do think that probably did happen. And I think it is interesting the way everything was structured with the way the team left Phoenix, because not only does it make it easier for the new owners because they don't have to start brand new, fresh, they get everything that the Coyotes had, including transfer of like their AHL assets, things like that. The other thing that's interesting too is for the Coyotes, it keeps all of their franchise left alone and in Phoenix, which means in the future they could potentially bring a team back to Phoenix whenever they sort things out over there, and then they just reassume the Coyotes name and logos.
Yeah, so that is what has been laid out for an Arizona hockey team in the future. They will get an expansion team that would be some form, either Phoenix, maybe even Phoenix again, or Arizona Coyotes. They did retain whatever owner buys that land and builds that arena. They will retain the Coyotes name, image, and likeness. That was part of the deal, because the team, even though it is all of the same operations, managers, coaches, players going to Salt Lake, it will be a new team name and logo and colors. So I personally do think that he, maybe not inside information, but maybe was told by somebody close to the situation, not saying Gary Bettman, but that, hey, this team is going to be relocated. They're not going to figure this. They're not okay with this auction land deal. They're going to relocate them. And I think it probably was told that if you don't want them, they're going to offer Houston it, because Fertitta has still came out and said that we do want an NHL team and I will bring an NHL team to Houston. So Spencer, what do you think? Do you think he just kind of had a change of heart and came around, or do you think he went, oh shit, if I want one now, I need to do this?
I think it's, you know, a little of both. I think he definitely wanted to start fresh, start his own thing. But I think he was also very hungry and ready in the short term play. Whereas I think really, if you look at the NHL, they are on course for another, I think, a four-team expansion. I don't think we're looking at this team by team again, but I think we're also about 4 to 5 years away from that. I don't think he wanted to wait 4 to 5 years there's a lot of logistical reasons for them, you know, Salt Lake City putting in a bid for the Winter Olympics, things of that nature, where I think he wanted to get this market going now. I think it became very apparent to the NHL Arizona was not going to work. Even if they won this land deal, you're looking at another 3 years to build that stadium. So 3 years in Mullet Arena, that doesn't work for the NHL. So I think there was a lot of reasons, but I mean, you also think about Phoenix and Salt Lake City. They're not that far away. You stay in the same division. It doesn't change road trips for the NHL. You can still do a swing through California and up to Utah. I think it probably came down to Salt Lake and Atlanta, given that those two teams have formally looked into the expansion process. Utah was clearly the top choice and clearly the easiest choice for the NHL to do this. But I think we do see the Phoenix team in 5 years. I think we do see a four-team expansion. I don't think we've seen the last game of the Arizona Coyotes, but I think in the situation that it was in, this is the best situation that could have happened.
I agree. I think for the players, for everyone involved, just now, here's who it doesn't benefit and who it really does suck is the people who the staff is going. Everybody's going.
If you're, you know, a lower level equipment trainer, your whole family's in Phoenix. Can you go to Salt Lake City and pay for that?
I guarantee you they're not paying for it. I promise you this Ryan Smith guy has got everything covered.
I hope he says everybody's going.
He seems like the kind of owner that would front a lot of, like, just he seems like a, and again, he's a billionaire, so who knows, but he seems like a genuine, like a Mark Cuban, like he truly cares about growing the organization and his players and being a good, like Mark Cuban, like even though he's sold, but he's still at every game. But anyways, he's done a lot for like the Dallas community as that whole Delonte West story is pretty wild, about how he heard that he was homeless at a 7-Eleven in downtown and like near downtown, and went and picked him up and took him home and paid for his rehab. Like, this owner, Ryan Smith, seems like that kind of guy. And I'm just going to go ahead and based on my good heart, think that even if you're a low level equipment manager, he has offered to say, hey, if you want to be a part of this, I will pay for the move. I hope
that is what's happening.
Who doesn't benefit, like I said, is the beat writers. Everybody who's on the outside looking in, who covered that team in a sports way, that sucks, because some of them probably lost their job if they were like trying to be a writer or trying to be a beat cover, and maybe their only option was hockey. Maybe they weren't working in any other sports. That sucks. So I do feel bad for them, but I feel great for the players, because they're out of a really shitty situation that, to be honest, we've been to a game in Mullet. It was fun. And we went to a game in Mullet the first year they had it in Mullet. It was fun for us as a fan. I'm sure it was fun for a year for the players. It's too much now. It is not NHL quality.
They can't
do three more
seasons of that. There is just no way.
No. Now, did you see they're going to move? The Tucson Roadrunners are going to play in Mullet now. They're moving the Tucson team to Mullet.
I think that does make sense. I think that's a great AHL barn. You got to build.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the
oh, great.
So they're not walking 100 yards to the rink. But
well, I think the move to moving the AHL team there makes more sense, or makes a lot of sense, because you already have decent facilities. They're good enough for AHL players. They're just not the show. It's just not the show. So the players will finally get
that. What do you think the Utah team will be called? We'll take early guesses here. I have a weird take on it for next season, but I'll let you talk.
So I in my heart of hearts, it's going to be this is what I think would be cool, is if they went with Blizzard and had a Yeti logo.
Is that too close to Avalanche though?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't like
What's the difference? I mean, like, but like, what, like,
Blizzards cause avalanches. Drake will probably have something to say about that, but
yeah, I mean, but yeah, but or they're just the Yeti, but either way, it's a snow theme. So there's no, you can't not be something snow themed for Utah.
I like the Wolfpack or something. But so here's my weird take. I think next season we don't see a name.
They're like Utah Hockey Club, like Washington Football Team.
I think next season we will see the Utah Hockey Club. That is absolutely what I do think.
No, I disagree. I think they're going to give us
Ryan Smith.
They're going to give us a logo.
We will play under a temporary name and logo. There is a possibility for one season that we will play under a temporary name and logo.
I think they'll figure it out.
He trademarked both Utah HC and Utah Hockey Club.
I don't like that for a hockey team, though.
Just for a season. It's not going to be long term, because he was rushed into this process, and he doesn't just want to come out with a name that isn't true for him.
It's not hard to figure out what the name should be here, boys. Let's stop bullshitting here. It's the Yeti, but if you don't want to just have something it's not even that far out. We have a team named the goddamn Kraken. So what is it like the obvious choice is like the Mountain Men Yeti theme.
We say that, yes, but he's just saying he doesn't want to be rushed into it. He wants to do his due diligence, and he could play under a temporary name and logo for a season.
But here's my problem with that. If you as an owner, he's got to be very social media online aware. He's got to be.
He's young, right? He's not much older than we are.
So he knows what everybody wants. Just it's provocative. It gets the people going. Give us what we want. You know what we want, so give it to us, right? I mean, Mason, what do you think? Do you think they're going to have an actual name and logo and colors, or do you think they're going to do something temporary?
I think they'll have an actual name and logo.
So the colors would probably be the same. Like they would find colors that they want to use. They would just wait on the name and logo. Is that what you're saying, Spencer? Or are they going to do a complete?
I think maybe we see team colors, and they say we're going to use this time to crowdsource within our new fans, because they just opened up like season tickets last week. So you don't even you're just forming your fan base. So why not take a season, get your fans set up and be like, what do you guys want to be called? Use social media, like you said, crowdsource a name through even half a season, launch it at the All-Star break, something like that. Don't rush yourself into something and then have your, you know, have it flop essentially. Yes, the Yeti makes sense. We know that. But who knows? Maybe he comes out of left field and gives us something super cool.
Yeah, true.
You don't want to end up with something like Dallas Stars.
Shut the fuck up. You're so stupid.
No, like, they just stole a name. Like, they weren't even creative.
Yeah, okay. You guys, what are you doing? They just
dropped North. Like,
what are we doing?
They didn't want to be the South Stars, so they just said Stars.
What are we doing?
Here's my names for the Salt Lake team. My realistic name, that this is my, like, not, like, just funny name, is the Pioneers. I think that could work for them because it works for, like, the whole mountains. It works for the whole Mormon thing. And then my, like, weird one, like, off the wall is the Monsters, the Salt Lake City Monsters or something like that.
No, I could see something like the Wolf Pack or the Wolves or the something like that too.
You could be onto something with the Pioneers, maybe like a different name for what a Pioneer is. Mason could be onto something like that.
Or like the Gold Rush and their
something, Pioneers. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. That would be cool. All right, well, let's move into our playoff series and see who's got who winning what. We're going to go round table. You're going to give me your current, who you think is going to win each series, and then who you think is going to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm going to come back and hit you with your really bad takes and who you had originally in the playoffs. So that is how we are going to do things. Okay. So between the two of you, pick a number between 1 and 10. Mason, you go first.
9.
Spencer, go.
Who picks 9?
I made it easy for you. Pick one.
7.
Okay. So, Mason, you were farthest away. You go first. Mason. Idiot. Yeah. Mason, who do you have? We'll go series by series. We'll start in the West. We'll go Dallas and the Vegas Golden Knights. Who do you have winning that series?
I have Vegas in 7 solely because they're still the gritty team that everyone hates. They're only 1 year behind their Stanley Cup. I think they still have enough. And I think Dallas, even though they're a good team, I think Vegas is the kind of team that'll push a game 7. And it's one of those, anything that can happen. And I just think Vegas would win.
Yeah. Well, I think you're an idiot, but okay, that's fine. Winnipeg, Colorado. Who do you got coming out of that series?
That one, I have Colorado in 6. And I have, solely because I think Winnipeg's just not going to die. I think Colorado would win it pretty easily, but I think Winnipeg's just good enough to give them a couple of games of hell.
Vancouver, Nashville.
Vancouver in 5.
You don't even think Nashville has a chance in that one, huh?
Even though I like Nashville and I would like to see them be successful, I just think Vancouver can ramp it up and be pretty nasty come playoff time. So we'll find out tonight.
True. Edmonton and the Los Angeles Kings.
That one I have Edmonton in 7. Even though the Kings haven't been as good as they were before, like previously in the season, I think they're still good. And I think Edmonton is just still super prone to choking because of all the talent that they have. So I think 7 games, but I think Edmonton will squeak by.
Let's jump over to the East. We got Florida, Tampa Bay, who we just know earlier, Florida comes out to a 1-game lead. Mason, who do you have in that series?
Florida in 7. I think that one will be fun just because it'll be a rivalry kind of series. So it'll just be interesting to watch.
There were 40 hits from both teams. So 80 total hits before the end of the fucking second period today.
Yeah.
It was awesome. They were throwing the body.
Insane. Okay, so Florida in 7. All right, Boston, Toronto. Boston, we know yesterday took a 1-0 commanding 1-0 series lead. Mason, who do you have in that series?
I have Boston in 5. I think Toronto is similar to Edmonton. I think they're super prone to choking, and who knows what's going on with this Nylander nonsense. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think he's nonsense in the playoffs, so.
We'll get into why everybody thinks they're nonsense. New York Rangers and your beloved Washington Capitals. Do you have the upset?
I do. Capitals.
And oh my god!
So dumb.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Of course he does. Capitals in seven. Yeah, you know you had to. We're expecting it. All right, the last Eastern Conference series right now, Carolina and the New York Islanders. Who do you have in that series?
Carolina in five. I still think Carolina's going to win the cup, so I think they take it.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. We'll just do the first round today, see also, who's right after this.
I'm pretty sure I'm at the beginning when you asked who our like surprise picks to make the playoffs.
We will get in. Washington was going to squeak in. We will get into that right now. So you have Carolina winning that. You have Carolina winning the cup. Speaking of, let's go over Mason's picks from earlier this year. You had Carolina winning the cup. So that is steadfast with you. And yes, you had Washington in the playoffs. So here's Mason's playoff picks. He had Vegas, LA, and Edmonton, and he had Vancouver as a wild card. So did pretty well on that, even though, you know, he had Vancouver not doing so well. Then he had Colorado, Dallas, and Nashville. So there he goes. The problem was you had Winnipeg out of the playoffs, as did, I believe, all three of us had Winnipeg out of the playoffs this year. So and then you said Carolina, New Jersey, New York, and Washington. New Jersey did not make the playoffs. Then you had Florida, Toronto, Boston, and Tampa Bay. So I'm just going to say it before we get into Spencer's and mine's. The guy who wears a tinfoil hat, I believe percentage-wise, did the best on all of his preseason playoff predictions and Stanley Cup winner predictions. So, yeah, Mason had Carolina as the Cup champs. He had Vancouver as a wild card. And then his kind of bad take was that Winnipeg would not make the playoffs, and they are an absolute wagon. Now, Spencer, it is your turn to put your feet to the fire. Let's go over your picks.
My feet are to the fire because I've already found my picks from earlier in the season, and they are not good.
Yeah. So let's. Yeah, your feet are already burning. It's at the toes. But let's jump back over to the West. Who you have? Who do you have in the Dallas Vegas series?
Dallas and six.
Dallas and six.
Have it. Yeah. Dallas looks nasty right now.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah, we do, baby. We're going to send them back to the Stone Age. No pun intended. All right. Dallas and six. Spencer's got Winnipeg, Colorado. Who do you got for the team that you didn't have in the playoffs? Who do you have?
They're leaving in the first round because they're frauds and shouldn't be there in the first place. So Colorado and six.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first. Vancouver, Nashville.
Vancouver and five. Vancouver came out of nowhere. I did not see that one coming. I thought they were still a few years away from being this good. They outperformed themselves.
Yeah.
And they are nasty.
Yep. So not giving Nashville any shot, huh?
I don't see it. I think they squeaked in. They're happy to be there, and they're going to be happy to have a couple playoff games, but I think they don't have what they need to beat Vancouver.
Edmonton and the Los Angeles Kings.
Same with the Kings. I think they're just happy to be there. And Edmonton in five. I don't see it. I don't see goaltending from LA. I just don't see them being able. Again, I want the oil drip in the side of your head. We can talk about that.
We'll discuss it now.
Because you could not have been more wrong about that. McDavid would not be denied. Not only did he not even get a wild card position, they just made the playoffs.
Yeah, so bad.
They are going. He's ready to go, and Edmonton and five.
So let's talk about this now. Bad stench take. When we get to my picks, I did have Edmonton in the playoffs at the beginning of the season when they were in their very very bad slump after the beginning of the season. Dead last. I was on record as saying there was no way they would make the playoffs. Spencer was very adamant that they would, and I said, what do you want to bet? And we bet an oil drip shaved into the side of my head. I lost. Okay. Now this is gonna sound weird, but I would rather do something different. So rather than getting an oil drip shaved into the side of my head for the first round, give me until the end of playoffs to get an oil drip tattoo. I would much rather a tattoo.
Just add it to the coloring book that's on your thigh?
Yeah, I would much rather just a small oil drip tattoo somewhere than a stupid oil drip shaved into the side of my head, which is going to cost me an arm and a leg because I'm going to have to find some.
I don't know. I feel like I want it in the side of your head.
I gotta do. Just let me do the tattoo. Come on. I'll even do by the end of the first round. I'll get the tattoo.
We'll discuss. I don't know. We'll crowdsource this one.
The shaved head, the thing in the side of my head will go away in 2 weeks. The tattoo is for life. So you can always say, let me see that tattoo. Remember what you did? I'm actually like one upping the bet as I've already lost.
True. I will always be able to say, remember when I beat you in that bet? And it's on your body forever.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know why you would say no to that.
Yes. So, okay. We can move on. I won the bet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You would want me to get a tramp stamp. We'll jump on an oil drip tramp stamp. God damn it, Mason. All right, Spencer, to the east, Florida, Tampa.
I mean, this is a tough one for me just because this is going to be an absolute war, but Florida and six.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a battle. Like we just said, 80 hits, almost 80 hits between the two teams before the third period even started. Boston and your Stanley Cup pick, the Toronto Maple Leafs, which we'll discuss after.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I still pick Toronto in six.
Toronto in six?
They come around.
They got walloped last night.
They'll learn. That was bad. If they don't make it out of the first round, Sheldon Keefe should fire himself.
He's got it. To be honest with you, if they get it out of the first round and lose in the second, they still have to fire him. He's not the coach.
Done. He has no finish.
Yeah. The Rangers and the Capitals. Who you have?
Rangers in five. I don't even know why the Capitals are there.
And then Carolina and the Islanders.
I picked them to be there. That's why.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Carolina in five. They're going to run through them.
You think they're going to run through them? Okay, let's get to Spencer's takes here at the beginning of the season. So, Spencer, I'll say all the ones I have, and then you tell me if I'm missing anything. So you originally said Vegas, L.A., and Edmonton, and you said Vancouver could possibly get the wild card, which I was generous on giving you that because you didn't really say that, but you kind of said that. So I'll give you that one. You did have Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota in the playoffs. You had Winnipeg out and Nashville out. And then you had Carolina, New Jersey, New York Rangers, and Pittsburgh in the playoffs. You had the Islanders out. Then on top of that, you said if anybody was going to jump Pittsburgh, it would have been the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then you had Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston, and you did have Buffalo was your fun pick, which I can't chirp you for because we will get to my picks. Buffalo was your fun pick. You did say that Florida was out, but you did say if Buffalo wasn't going to be in, it was because Florida made a leap. So you picked Buffalo, you had Florida out, but you did kind of pick the way in which your picks were wrong, if that makes any sense. And then
I
you
knew
had,
how it was going to play out. I took some chances, they backfired.
And then
I don't
you
think
had
anybody saw the Devils flopping as bad as they did.
No, nobody saw that. And then you have Toronto. Spencer had Toronto, the Maple Leafs, as his Stanley Cup champs. So, Spencer, would you, now that the fire is basically up to your torso, would you like to defend yourself in any way, shape, or form?
I'm just going to defend my Stanley Cup pick because if we listen to the episode, I did say it was very dependent on them probably picking up a goalie, which they didn't do. They didn't figure out their goaltending, which was glaringly obvious last night. So that's my take on that one. Buffalo, I still would have liked to see Buffalo in. The one that, I mean, I really, when it came down to it, I didn't think Islanders, even on the last day of the season, I wouldn't have said Islanders or the Capitals. So I don't think that was that far off. I think Pittsburgh and Detroit probably should have gotten in over those two. I think it would have made for better series.
What do you have to say for Columbus?
I don't know.
He doesn't have anything.
They There's a lot going on. You know, if there's another team that needs to get moved just because they're bad and just need to restart, it's the Columbus. Like, Johnny Hockey's there. Patrick Laine, I don't know what's going on with him. I feel bad for the guy. We don't, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but he's like.
He died?
What? So, it's a bad joke. He's in the player assistance program for, I don't know. I just feel bad because he disappeared. He had like two good seasons in Winnipeg, demanded he got out of there to Columbus.
He just said he died. He said he wanted Columbus to relocate because they're bad and Patrick Laine died.
His career is, it's dying.
I feel bad for the guy too. When he's on top of his game, he's such a fun player to watch. Yeah, when he's like, on it,
just let the guy play Fortnite and shoot hockey pucks again.
Seriously, seriously.
No, I feel bad for the guy. Like, he's had a rough go of it. He's a fantastic hockey player. He needs out of Columbus. I don't know where he needs to go. I don't know. But.
Can I be honest with you? Here's where I think the perfect landing spot. There's two spots I think would be perfect for Patrick Laine. One is going to sound weird. One is obvious. First of all, the Canadian media and those report, like, just that just fucked him. Like, they're too hard on him. They're too hard on everybody. Yeah. He had two really good seasons. He had over 50 goals 1 year, and then. They just expect that every single year. And when you put up 35 instead of 50, now all of a sudden you're a piece of shit to them. And it's just sickening. So that's part of the reason. The other part of the reason is he went from that to Columbus. You go from that to Columbus. So that's the other problem. Here's where I think there's two places he could go if he can get to that would help him. I think going to Pittsburgh would be great for Patrick Laine to be around Crosby, to be around Malkin in their kind of final years, to be around Letang, to be around Carlson, to put him on the power, just to be a power play merchant, put him on the power play with Crosby and have Crosby kind of walk out of the corner and find him on the back door, find him on the far side for the one timers. Pittsburgh, I think structure wise and just being a top tier organization with multiple Stanley Cups, something that they are striving to eventually get back to, and we're pretty close to getting the playoffs. I think that's a great spot. And obviously Florida, who doesn't want to go play in Florida, either team, the Cats or the Lightning, I think would be two great landing spots for him. Cause he could just chill out. It's great. He could be away from everything.
To be a top six forward though. And I don't think he could be, I see.
Now that's on him.
Think about that. I could see something like in LA or Seattle. Like, he could take that. He'd be a top line player in Seattle, or at least
I think he would do. But I think he'd do better in a place where he doesn't have the pressure of being a top, like Pittsburgh. He would be a top six forward in Pittsburgh, but he doesn't have the scrutiny up there. But you heard it here. We just hope Patrick Laine figures it out. And no,
I just want him to play hockey.
He is not dead.
And we can move back to. My new Stanley Cup pick after just...
No, you can't do that. You can't do that.
I get to pick a new Stanley Cup winner.
Okay, who is it?
It's just not going to be the same as his old winner.
Yeah, who is it?
It's not Toronto.
Okay, who is it?
Florida.
You think? You think this is the year?
After watching that game right now, if they can stay healthy, Bobrovsky's kicking. Those saves he made at the end of that game, he's definitely seeing the puck really well right now.
Yeah,
Matthew Tkachuk is a man on a mission. So I like Florida right now. I had a really hard time picking between them and Carolina in the Eastern Conference Final.
I'll give you the redo.
Really hard time, but Freddie Anderson for me doesn't do it. That just doesn't
look good
do it for me.
He looked good. But
now,
yeah.
Are you for four rounds? You're going to trust Freddie Anderson winning the Stanley Cup? Don't see it happening.
I didn't say Rossi, I was.
I like so. All right, so we'll turn the table, Stinchy. Do you want to go through yours?
Yeah, We'll just start back in the West. Dallas, Vegas. I have Dallas. To be honest, I don't think games aren't important. I just have winners. I don't really like what is. I don't. To me, it doesn't matter what game they win it in. I'll go Dallas in seven. So Dallas in seven. I just think we're a wagon. Even with Vegas getting Stone back and Hurdle, I just think we added the pieces that were missing to beat them last year, like a Chris Tanev, like Stankoven, Wyatt Johnson. We are coming, and no pun intended. I've said it 100 times. We're going to send them back to the fucking Stone Age for that IR bullshit that they pulled. They are going to learn that is not okay, and we're going to be the ones to teach it to them. So yeah, Dallas in seven, Winnipeg, Colorado. I have Winnipeg in six. Colorado just. Yeah, Colorado just does not the last. Here's where you don't want a team to look bad is the last 2 weeks of the season, and that is when Colorado has looked their worst. Regardless of how well McKinnon plays game in and game out, we have seen with Edmonton year in and year out, it doesn't matter if you have the best player in the world. You have to have a team. Hockey is it's not basketball. Somebody can't score 55 and win you a game. They're hurt. Here's my other problem. Gorgiev looks like ass. He got shelled by Winnipeg in one of the last games of the season where that game where you didn't really know who you were going to play, but you had a feeling or you had an idea that this could be a team you're going to face and you really need to just go to war with them. You got shelled. So that's a concern for me. I got Winnipeg in six. I just think it's just not Colorado's year. I think goaltending is still an issue for them. I think they got lucky the year they won it with the goaltending they had. And I don't think Gorgiev is the answer this year. So that's my pick. I have Vancouver in five. I think they're going to absolutely dome rock Nashville. I think they're going to donkey punch the shit out of them.
They're going to beat them like the Israeli hockey team in Colorado.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Yeah, we skipped over. We can mention Colorado at the end. We did.
Ricochet shots out there.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But I have Vancouver. Don't
0-3 in Hebrew.
I don't know, Mason, but I know how to say you have a tiny dick in Hebrew. So don't make me do it. Okay. And then Edmonton and LA. I have Edmonton. I do have Edmonton. I think LA is good. I was on record that first episode of the first game, not the first episode, but the episode of the first game where we did our predictions of saying LA is a wagon. They looked like it a couple games into the season, just based on roster. I think they're okay. I think they are the New York Islanders of the West. That is my opinion of the LA Kings. So there's my West picks. Now my East, I have Florida over Tampa. I think Florida is an absolute, they look really, really good. My problem with Florida is can Bobrovsky can he hold up? He has been known to choke for Columbus and for them in the past. We will see. But I do have them beating Tampa. I think Tampa is just not the same, even though they added Duclair and Dumba. I think they're just
Dumba's kind of, not Sergachev.
I think they're just kind of a middle of the pack Eastern Conference team now, and they're going to be on that bubble here in the next few years. Boston, Toronto, I have Boston in six. The Nylander injury, who knows how long he's going to be out. If he does come back, what's he going to look like? He already is not a gritty player to begin with. He plays a lot on the outside. He's a dangler. Now you're adding he's injured into that. He's not going to be physical, and he wasn't already physical. So that's a problem to me. And the fact that they just got absolutely shelled last night. Boston was all over them and they shut down. Matthews got shut down, had a few chances, but didn't really have any just wide open looks. They figured out a way to kind of keep him on the outside. They look good. I think they've got this Toronto team figured out. I think it's going to be a long series for Toronto, unfortunately, especially for all those fans standing out of the fucking rink like they do. Sorry, you're going to be standing out there for a lot of losses, Johnny. The Rangers and the Caps, I got the Rangers five. Caps will get one just because they're the Caps and they know how to hang around, and it's Ovechkin and he'll rally his team. But, Mason, there's no way the fucking Washington Capitals are getting out of the series. I'm sorry.
they're going to get dome rocked.
They were making the playoffs either.
True. True. We'll get to that. You are right on that. But I will double down and say there's no way they're making it out of this series.
I'm about to manifest a Carolina Hurricanes versus Washington Capitals Stanley Cup or Eastern Conference final.
They can't because they'd play each other next round.
That can't even happen, you
dummy. Yeah, dummy. Well,
they'll play each other next round.
Yeah, okay.
That
all right.
Is how that would work.
Yeah, that is how that would work. Carolina and then the Islanders. I've got Carolina in five. Carolina looks like a wagon. Spencer, did you see the video I sent you on Instagram?
Yeah.
So I told you when I went to the Carolina game, they skate out to Rock You Like a Hurricane, but they let the whole intro play with the guitar solo before they actually skate out. Like they skate out to the down now now. It was electric for a regular season game against the Capitals, who were terrible at the time. It was even more electric. Whoever filmed it. Here's my problem with. So I got Carolina at five. They're a wagon. Here's my problem with Carolina, and it was my problem. I didn't have a problem with it at the game because I couldn't figure out if I had a problem with it. I have a problem with it. Guy with the horn needs to shut the fuck up. I'm just going to say it. They have a guy who goes around the lower section, who is clearly a season ticket holder, who clearly has permission. He blows his horn. He blows it like three or four times, and then they say something after each, like, let's go Canes, after each time. This motherfucker did it five times in the first period last night. Five times four, that's 20. So that's 20 horn blows. That's 20 chants in the first fucking period. He's got to calm down. Horn guy in Carolina, you've got to calm down, okay? One per 10 minutes. One per 10 minutes, or maybe one per 5 minutes. But no, that's four. So no, that's still too many, guy, okay? You get two a period. You get one per half of the period. Whenever you choose to do that, if you want to do it when they're up, if you want to do it when they're down, if you want to do it when they're happy, if you want to do it when they're sad, you get two per period. You can't do four or five in a period. I can't take it. It's too much. Now that I've mentioned it, the next home Carolina game, you will notice the horn guy and you'll notice the chant. So I'm just going to say
probably will.
I have – so Stanley Cup – my Stanley Cup prediction at the beginning of the season was the Dallas Stars because we were a wagon before the deadline. We're a wagon now. I do have the Dallas Stars still winning the Stanley Cup final over the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that is going to be the Stanley Cup final is Dallas and Carolina, which would be really, really fun. Spencer thinks the NHL would not like that just because it's not the biggest kind of hockey markets there is. But I think that is what it's going to be. Now to my horrible takes from the beginning of the season. Like everybody else, I had Winnipeg out. I had Washington out. I didn't even have Vancouver as a wild card. I had Vancouver just straight out. I called them frauds. I said they weren't ready. So that one got shoved up my hoop. No spit, no lube, sandpaper finish.
Whoops.
On top of that, I had Buffalo in and Florida out. So I had Vancouver and Florida out completely, who are just two absolute wagons now. And then my Stanley Cup pick was Dallas. So I had Vegas, LA, and Edmonton. I had Seattle as the fourth Pacific team getting in. And then I had Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota, and Nashville. So I had Nashville in, which was good on me, but I had Minnesota in, and I had Winnipeg out, and I had Vancouver out. So I had Seattle and Minnesota over Vancouver and Winnipeg. And then I had Carolina, New Jersey, because everyone did not see that downfall. The Rangers, and I had the Islanders, so I will give myself credit on that one. From day one, I had the Islanders, and then I had Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay, and Buffalo was my fun pick. I had Florida out. Got that one got shoved up my hoop as well. But there it is, boys. I mean, the NHL playoffs are here. It's a full day of hockey. We got games on. Literally, I think Kenny Albert said we have games on from whatever time the first one started at 11:30 for me till 1 a.m. That's how
9:30 for me this morning. That's
yeah.
The first game started.
So, like, and then you get it until 11 o'clock tonight, basically. So it's just a fun day full of hockey. I will be remiss if I didn't mention, Spencer mentioned it earlier. I did play for the Israeli select team in Colorado, a couple weeks ago, or about a weekend ago. We finished up our North American tour. We started at Kent State. We went to Mercyhurst. Then we played some, Toronto Canadian schools. And then we finished at
Colorado. Yeah, that's what I said.
So we played Northern Colorado Thursday night. It was – so I'm just going to say it. Their team right now is – they don't have a team. They lost their appeal, so their team was suspended for hazing violations. I do have the actual
– I wondered about that because I figured they'd be getting ready for nationals or be done.
So I have the full story on that. It's very unfortunate. It's something that we've all been through, but it's very unfortunate how that unfolded. But they were suspended for quote-unquote hazing violations. Certain club teams have been – you know, suspended for a year and things like that. So that is what happened in Northern Colorado. The problem was they lost their appeal. So they appealed it to the conference and to the ACHA, and the ACHA said no. On top of saying no, the ACHA suspended them until 2026.
Ooh.
So they have a team, but they have an exhibition college team. So they can only play games like they played against us. Non-sanctioned exhibition games. We played an exhibition against them. We got walloped because they haven't played a game all year. This is their only exhibition game all year long. So they were ready for it. And they were going to obviously going to take it seriously because they weren't going to get another opportunity. They packed that fucking house. We've all played in that barn. It was packed to the gills. The student section had air horns. It was wild. Like, it was like they were playing Colorado State or call it like the Buffalo. Like, it was like a rivalry game. It was that packed. Hostile crowd, which I loved, but they absolutely destroyed us. We were missing some of our better players and our captain, who kind of sets the tone as far as systems. We didn't really have a system we were running. We're kind of just trying to play run and gun with a young college team, and it's just not how you get things done. So they whooped us, and then our next two games were against two very good teams. It basically was the all-star teams for the Big Mountain Hockey Conference. So Denver, Metro State, Colorado, all of those teams, and Wyoming, and they kind of took the best sophomores and freshmen and put them on one team, and then they took the best juniors and seniors and put them on one team, and we played each one of those all-star teams. We actually did very well against those teams. I would say they were better than UNC just based on skill, but we did very well because we got some players in for the rest of the weekend, and we ran a system. But shout out to those teams. Shout out to Colorado. Shout out to Charlie with the Big Mountain Hockey Conference this guy provided us Chick-fil-A before every game, pizza after every game, great amenities. We used Metro State's locker room to keep our gear in. It was just a fantastic weekend being treated like that. So Charlie, shout out to you. Shout out to the Big Mountain Hockey Conference for hosting the Israeli select team. Our North American tour is officially over. We went 2-7. So not great. But when you look at a team ranging from guys aged 20 to 42, when we're playing all college club D1 teams for the most part, 2-7 and some Canadian college teams as well. 2-7's it is what it is, but you know, the point wasn't wins or losses. The point is, you know, to do the tour and to spread the word and to just kind of bond with other teams. So it was fun. It was a good time. But yeah, that is what Spencer meant with his Northern Colorado chirp. But it was a fun trip. It was a very fun trip. So boys, NHL playoffs. We're in the thick of it.
I'm also going to shout out my Portland Winterhawks, who are also the Portland Buccaneers. They swept the first two rounds of the WHL playoffs.
Swept them.
They swept them the first two rounds.
Just swept them. So do they look like they could go like Mem Cup champs? Like, are they on their way?
They are nasty. I watched them play Everett last weekend. They are so good, top to bottom. I watched them beat Everett 9-2. Or something like that. Like, it was stupid.
Damn. Well, Mason, any last words before Spencer tells people you died like Patrick Laine?
No, I got nothing. Just that the Caps are going to beat the Rangers.
They're not going to. You are absolutely insane. You are absolutely insane. Well, anyways, that's the Flowscape podcast for now. Spencer, hit him with it.
Peace.